The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Welcome to The Rescue Worker. Thank you so much for joining us today for our last day of our 15th week of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. God is so good and He has blessed us with a wonderful journey so far on the Gospel of Luke. Today, for those that are watching live and usually watch live, the live broadcast, today is the last day before our break, our Christmas break, our New Year's break, and I'll be sharing later on our social media of The Rescue Worker when we resume our study. By God's grace, we'll come back and we'll continue our study in the Gospel of Luke. For those that are listening or watch on demand, maybe you not perceive a break. And I hope you continue, you feel blessed as we continue as our study. As you know, the Rescue Worker community is a community of Jesus' apprentices, those that are submitting to Jesus to learn from Him, to be like Him, loving and serving Him. And our community, the Rescue Worker community, has a motto. And the motto for Jesus' apprentices of the Rescue Worker community is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is the heart and the mission and the goal for the apprentices of Jesus. Love God, love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Based on love, the foundation of God's kingdom. Because God is love, therefore His rulership is based on love. And when we love, we look more like God. That's so beautiful. And that's the reason God invites us to love even our enemies and our love not to judge. Because as we love, we look more like Jesus. Since today is our last day of the week, week 15, today will be the last time we'll see our memory verse that comes from Luke chapter 7, verse 13. When the Lord saw her, His heart overflowed with compassion. Don't cry, he said. We realize that the kingdom of God is based on compassion. And Luke 6:36 says, you must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. God operates on mercy because mercy emerges from love as grace as well. And Jesus was loving walking. Jesus was mercy walking. Jesus was grace walking among us. And He was moved, overflow with compassion. And I know that the same feeling that Jesus had for that widow that had lost her only son is the same feeling that Jesus has for you. He overflows with compassion and love. So He comes and tries to support you, restore you, to love you. That it is a life-changing perspective of Jesus, His kingdom, and God. And somehow, most of the times, we don't see or hear about this nature of God. At least in religious circles and even the Bible, we see people struggling with the grace and mercy of God, struggling with this kingdom, this inclusive kingdom, the kingdom of God. And today we'll be studying on verse 29 to 35 some of the people that struggle with the graceful kingdom of God and the graceful and merciful messianic role of Jesus Christ. And what I can tell you is for us to understand the lessons and apply the lessons of our reading today, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to come before God. We need God to help us to understand and help us to apply. And we know and we have the assurance that every time we come to God, we have grace and mercy waiting for us. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. Hebrews 4:16. That is the way that God operates. Grace and mercy. And as we come to Him, He presents grace and mercy. So I want to give you now an opportunity to come before God in prayer so you can experience grace and mercy. And at the same time, a moment for you to approach God, to feel and ask for His guidance so we can understand and apply the lessons for today. So take this minute for your connection with God. And after that, we'll come back to a short prayer and then the study of verses 29 to 35. See you in a minute. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for bringing us here, for our study, for our fellowship with one another, but also our fellowship with God. Bless us, Lord, as we contemplate your word and reflect upon it. Help us, Lord, to be faithful apprentices of Jesus and learn from him. Thank you, Lord, for this 15 weeks together. That is such a blessing, Lord. And we praise your name for this accomplishment. And Lord, help us to stay in the word, keep listening to you and obeying you. Bless everyone that is listening to my voice at this moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So here we are on this last section about the relationship between Jesus and John the Baptist here on chapter 7 of Luke. So where we are, let's try to have the big picture so we can understand the flow of what Luke's trying to portray and maybe saying here. So on chapter 6, we had the Sermon of the Mountain or the Sermon of the, on the Plain, where we see Jesus presenting who God is, the compassionate God. And his kingdom is a kingdom of compassion. So this kingdom would serve the poor, those that are thirsty, those that are weeping, those that are suffering, those that are being persecuted, because God is compassionate. And this compassion of God and his kingdom must be part of us as we love one another. And as we love one another, we'll love our enemies. And because we love one another, we'll not judge. We'll be merciful to the mistakes of people. And Jesus finishes with this concept of being merciful and following his way, his kingdom, a kingdom of mercy. Now, chapter 7 somehow is the implementation or the application of the Sermon of the Mount. First, we see mercy in the life of the Roman officer, where he shows love for the Jewish people. And yes, we should not, people don't love the enemies, but a Roman loving the Jewish, they were considered enemies. And this Roman officer being kind and merciful towards his slave. Then we see Jesus himself being mercy as he resurrected the only son of the widow in Nahum. Then we came with John the Baptist, where he sends his disciples to ask Jesus, "Is this the kingdom of God? Are you the Messiah with all this mercy and love?" And Jesus reinforces the nature of the kingdom. Yes, it is a kingdom of love, of mercy, a kingdom that plays and follows the script of Luke 4:18 and 19 that is taken from Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 58. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come," the time of the Jubilee, the time of grace, the season of grace. So Jesus is clear to state to John's disciple, to take to John the message, yes, is a merciful kingdom. So somehow the first part of this interaction between Jesus and John or John's disciples, it is about, there is, how can I put it in a kind of way? There's some friction here. There's the expectation of the kingdom of God that John and even the disciples of John had, a kingdom of judgment, and the reality, a kingdom of mercy. Because the operative models, or the model that the kingdom of God operates, is based on mercy and love. Yes, we'll have a moment of judgment. And even this moment of judgment is a moment that comes from mercy and grace, where God say, "I cannot tolerate pain and suffering anymore. I cannot tolerate racism anymore. I cannot tolerate segregation anymore. I cannot tolerate people judging other people anymore. I cannot tolerate another way of government around that is based on hate. I need to implement once for all the kingdom of Lot." So he comes and judge. But judgment is one act, is not an ongoing aspect. The ongoing aspect is mercy. So the first interaction with John, there is this kind of friction or different sides here, John and Jesus. And then yesterday we study how Jesus brings now John and says there's no friction here. It's just continuity. There's a link. There's a connection between Jesus and John, and John and Jesus. John came with the message of repentance. He was more than a prophet. He was the messenger, the eschatological messenger that would bring and present, introduce the kingdom of God and its Messiah. So as you accept John, you are accepting me. And then Jesus finishes with this idea that the kingdom of God that now is present in Jesus Christ is much better than any anticipation or even proclamation of the kingdom. If John was the most important person to be born, the most powerful prophet to be born, not because he had a qualification or skills that were much better or higher than any other before him, but because of his mission, the mission of John introducing the Messiah and introducing the kingdom of God, was the most important role of any person. So John is the most important person, or the mission that Jesus points out. But living the kingdom, experiencing the kingdom, this merciful kingdom, and display this merciful kingdom is more important than any proclamation of the kingdom. And so on the first part, there is this friction between John, let's say John's expectation and the kingdom of God. On the second part, we see Jesus connecting them. And now on the third part, as interacts with this loving kingdom, we see a connection. Jesus showing one thing, John and Jesus being looked as one, as the kingdom of God, the proclamation and the establishment of the kingdom. So let's go and turn here to verse 29, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. So when they heard this, all the people, even the tax collector, agreed that God's way was right, for they had been baptized by John. Let's try to understand. So the message of John was a message for everyone, calling everyone to repent. And this message went to even tax collectors, and we have talked about them. I'll probably just for our sake, because I know there's so much information, I'll do a brief review. Who are the tax collectors? Usually the tax collectors were Jews working for the Romans. They were located in their community. They understood the lifestyle of each person, so they knew how much each family should pay to Rome. So they are working for the Romans, so they are hated. And more than that, the majority of tax collectors, they would charge or collect more than they should because they will try to improve their life as well with the means. So they are abusing as the Gentiles are abusing them, right? The Romans are abusing them. So they were hated. They were hated because they work for the Romans. They are hated by the Jewish leaders because they are hanging out with Gentiles. So they are not keeping the laws. They are unclean. So they are hated. And I hate it because they are not the good people. But even though the worst ones, they understood God's salvific intervention. This God's salvific intervention in a mighty way that started with John. And if you believed in the message of John, you will believe in Jesus Christ, because John was preaching that the kingdom was coming, and that its Messiah was coming. Therefore, Jesus is here and the Messiah is here. So as people accept John's message and John's ministry, they accept Jesus and his kingdom. And as they accept, they were baptized by John. Yes, I want to be part of this kingdom. I want to meet its Messiah. Yes, I want to be ready. So all the people, even the tax collectors, the worst people, they were exposed to the kingdom of God and its Messiah, and they accepted. Jesus is talking, remember, to people that had been with John on the wilderness. We studied that yesterday. And now they are following Jesus. John is in prison for 6 months already, at least. So they are coming now and following Jesus because it's a continuation. Since the beginning, John was pointed out to Jesus. Since Luke chapter 1, where John is introduced, his importance or his role is related to Jesus and the kingdom of God. So the kingdom is a kingdom of inclusiveness, a kingdom that accepts everyone, even the worst sinner, according to their standards at the time. But then Jesus comes and presents another group. But the Pharisees and experts in religious law reject God's plan for them, for they had refused John's baptism. So first, Jesus presents those that accept God's salvific intervention. And now he talks about a group that rejects God's salvific intervention, rejects God coming and bringing mercy to his people. Who are those? He named two groups, Pharisees and the experts of the law. Who are they? Yes, we have studied about that, but let's just have a quick review here. The Pharisees were good people that dreamed about the kingdom of God. Their main subject was the kingdom of God. The only difference, or the difference between them and Jesus, is that they had a different perspective what would the kingdom look like and how the kingdom would be implemented. For the Pharisees, the kingdom of God would be a political kingdom, also religious kingdom, but its nature and political kingdom. And the second is how this kingdom would be implemented. According to their understanding, the kingdom would be implemented when people would be faithful to the laws of God, to the Torah. If the kingdom was not present, it's because people had not been faithful to the laws. So, and when they talk about the laws, they talk about the full Torah, the whole Torah. We're talking about 613 laws according to them. And so what they did, well, to help people to protect those 613 laws, let's create other laws so people will not break the 613 laws. So for them, it's all about being obedient and try to keep those laws. And if they can do that, then the kingdom will come. So they are not so happy with this idea that tax collectors can become part of the kingdom. They are not good people. That cannot be. So they don't, because they were so fixed to their understanding of God, their understanding of the kingdom of God, and their understanding of the Messiah, they couldn't see and perceive the intervention, the salvific intervention of God through John the Baptist, and therefore through Jesus Christ. But Jesus here talks about another group. And what group is that? The experts of the law. Probably the scribes, those that copied the law, the Bible, the Torah, by hand. They were responsible for copying the Torah, but they were responsible to making rules and making clarification or even discernment about the interpretation of the law, right? What is seen, what is not seen, is that breaking the law or not? So they are so focused on the word, the letter of the law, of the Torah, right, that they miss the boat as well. And why they miss the boat? Because they didn't see the intervention of Jesus, of God, the salvific plans. And they reject John. And as they reject John, they reject his message about the kingdom and the Messiah to come. Therefore, thus, they reject Jesus Christ and the kingdom that he brings. Because the kingdom that Jesus brings, the way he does, doesn't look like the way they think Jesus or the Messiah is supposed to be. So two groups, those that accept God's intervention and accept God's merciful kingdom, and those that reject God's intervention and his merciful kingdom. Then Jesus continues, verse 31. To what I can compare the people of this generation, and he's even refer to this last group, those that reject, the Pharisees and the scribes of the law, right? How can I explain to you what's happening here? You're missing the point. Jesus asked, how can I describe them? And now comes verse 32, and pay attention to verse 32. Jesus trying to lead us to some illustration that maybe we are not familiar today, but were very familiar to the people at the time. Verse 32. They are like children playing a game in the public square. They complain to their friends. We played wedding songs and you didn't dance. So we play funeral songs and we didn't weep. I like the New Living Translation because here he gives already some of the implications of the text that sometimes more traditional versions don't see that so clearly. So he's talking about kids playing, right? Jesus is talking about kids playing. And he's inviting other kids to play. But it looks like those other kids don't want to play that game. And somehow we can see John the Baptist and Jesus inviting people to be part of something. But some of them, they don't want to be part of that. And what we're talking about? The kingdom of God. The merciful kingdom of God. They don't want to be part of a merciful kingdom. That's not the kingdom. Whether the kingdom that we have is a kingdom of law, of judgment, of rules, of policies, of it's not this merciful kingdom. And then he presents two aspects or two ways that they are playing and they don't want to be part of this game. And here they are. And remember, is the intervention of God. God is intervening. That's the main concept, that God's intervening in a merciful way. The first is they play wedding songs or happy songs, and you didn't dance. It is interesting that throughout the ministry of Jesus illustrates many times the kingdom of God as a wedding. A wedding of grace, where grace is served. A wedding that the invitees sometimes show up and others not. A wedding that is inviting everyone to dance. To dance what? About the kingdom. It's a joyful moment. The kingdom is here. What humankind have been waiting for more than 4,000 years, now it is here. Coming together is grace and mercy. However, they didn't dance. They are not joyful. They're not joyful that the kingdom is here. They're not joyful because that's not the kind of the kingdom they had in mind. And then he uses illustrations. So they play funeral songs. Oh, sad songs. But you didn't weep. Remember, Jesus just came from a funeral. As he was walking with the multitude in Nahum. And as he was going by to the city, outside came another multitude for a funeral. And there are people crying. They will have music, sad music, so people can cry. It's a solemn moment where you need to be contrite and you cry, you're sad. And Jesus say, yes, we play that kind of music and you didn't cry. You see, the message of John the Baptist was a message of repentance. It's a solemn message. You need to look at your life and see how far you are from God's kingdom. You need to be aligned. You need to be sad by your behavior, sad by your ways of life. You need to be sad because you're away from God. And you need to repent. So somehow we could say that these songs of solemn songs where it requires weep, requires the recognition that you're sinful are the songs or the message that John was preaching. But as Jesus comes and the kingdom manifests itself in Jesus Christ, is a joyful moment, is an inclusive moment. The kingdom of God is here, mercy here. But that people, that generation, didn't want to play the heaven's game. And who are they? People connect to the church. People connect with religious life, Pharisees and the doctors of the law. And let me ask you, are we tempted or do we face the same challenges or temptation today of not playing the heaven's game? The game that presents a message of the kingdom of God. A game where people are invited to come and enjoy the kingdom. But we cannot, because we have our idea of the kingdom. We have our idea of religious life. We have our idea how things should roll. And we don't perceive, we don't understand the merciful kingdom of God. We don't understand the role of Jesus, a role of saving the poor, the broken heart. And somehow that's what the application that Jesus does on the following, verse 33 and 34. For John the Baptist didn't spend his time eating bread or drinking wine. So John lived a very modest life, was a contrite life, was an ascetic life, right? He is away from anything, any temptation. He's in the wilderness, just doing the life of God. And you say he's possessed by a demon. Who said that? Yeah, the Pharisees, the scribes of law. That cannot be God's intervention. That can be a demon. The Son of Man, verse 34, so Jesus referring to himself, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say, he's a glutton and a drunk heart and a friend of tax collectors and not sinners. So it's a joyful moment. Jesus is here. Jesus is with everybody because everyone is invited to be part of the kingdom. The kingdom of God, a love and merciful kingdom where God doesn't label people based on their actions or their wrong actions, where God invites them to be part of the kingdom. And as they are in the kingdom, they are transformed by the kingdom. Because God loves us so much that will not allow us to stay where we are. He will transform us. But this transformation happens as we celebrate the kingdom, not prior to enter the kingdom. What the Pharisees and the scribes would promote. The transformation doesn't take place prior to the kingdom, but the transformation takes place as we enjoy the kingdom. As we cry because we understand our reality, our spiritual poorness, how far we are from God, and but at the same time we rejoice on the mercy of God that accept us the way we are, and now he transforms us. So this group, they reject both ways, both interventions of God that was just one, the kingdom of God and its Messiah. They reject John the Baptist and they reject Jesus. And my question for you is, what group are you? Are you celebrating this loving kingdom? Are you displaying this loving kingdom? Or you reject this loving kingdom? It is about fear. It is about persecution. It is about laws and protocols and bylaws and all that. I'm not saying those are not part of the kingdom, but they should not take place before the kingdom. And then Jesus concludes, but wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. Jesus goes and he goes back to the book of Proverbs, and I wish we had time. And the book of Proverbs talk about wisdom. And even the book of Proverbs refer wisdom as a lady that is joyful, a lady that presents grace. And I'm referring to, for instance, chapter 2 of Proverbs. Wisdom is based on following God. Wisdom is based on loving God. Wisdom is based on being obedient to God's law. And here, Jesus is saying the wisdom that for the scribes and Pharisees was based understanding the law and applying the law was not the true wisdom, because the true wisdom was understand the kingdom of God and follow its Messiah, Jesus Christ. So, but wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. Those that follow Jesus, those that follow God's divine intervention that came through John and then the fulfillment in Jesus, those that accept that, the tax collectors, the sinners, those are that have wisdom. So, do you have wisdom? Are you following Jesus? It's all about Jesus and his kingdom, the loving kingdom. And this wisdom that we understand that we're talking about, a merciful kingdom, the nature of the kingdom of God. So where are you? And I know, as I look to my life, I need to embrace more and more this merciful kingdom for myself and for those around me. I need to embrace the values and principles of this kingdom, of love, no judgment, of declaring, displaying the kingdom where our need of that. I need in my life more and more. What about you? It is interesting because the next account that we study on the next week of study, week 16, is where Jesus goes now to eat with a Pharisee, and there he's anointed by a sinful woman. Again, mercy, the mercy of God, the mercy of God that goes, okay, I love the Pharisees, and I'll eat with them. I'll give them an opportunity. You see, when Jesus was making these tough messages or calls to the Pharisees, was not a judgment per se, but it was a loving way to say, repent. There is time. Still, there is time. Time for you to understand God's mercy, and understand his divine intervention. So it is time. Any word of Jesus is an invitation of repentance, of surrender to God and his kingdom. And I want to invite you to surrender as well. Surrender to Jesus and to his kingdom. Surrender to the merciful King of God's merciful kingdom. Are you willing to do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you because you invite us to be part of this beautiful kingdom of love where there is life, joy, and assurance that we serve a loving God. Help us to understand. Help us to embrace. Help us to live and display the kingdom of God. Forgive our sins. And be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to our questions of reflection. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and his kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Thank you so much for being with us up to this point, 15 weeks. For those that are following the live broadcasts, you have a short break where you can connect with God, revisit some of our previous broadcasts. You can visit our website, therescueworker.com, there. Our archives are available there where you can find the YouTube link, the Facebook link, the podcast link where you can have all the archives. Many of our broadcasts are available as well on Instagram, but sometimes it's hard to watch, right? On YouTube, sometimes it's easier. But I want to invite you to continue. Don't give up. We have a break. I think it could be a good break for you. I know it'll be a good break for me to rest, to study a little bit more, to prepare so I can share with you, right? So I'm looking forward to have this break, but I'm looking forward to seeing you again. And for those that are watching or following us on demand, well, maybe we'll see you tomorrow. I don't know. But I just want to say, may God bless you. May God be with you. And I hope to see you very soon. God bless you.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.